Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
7:04, thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out as well. We're about to cover the good, bad, and the ugly from Sunday's Falcons-Jets game. You can imagine which categories were easier to choose from. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Here are the headlines before you head out. The Hawks lost to the Pistons last night, 99-98. They'll be back at home tomorrow night to take on the LA Clippers. James Madison head football coach Bob Chesney is reportedly being hired over at UCLA. LSU will be paying a bonus to Lane Kiffin based on Ole Miss's college football playoff success. And the Patriots beat the Giants last night, 33-15. And Younghoe Koo's kick is being slow-moed and put all over social media today.
Is that what you're calling that, the kick? I don't think he...
The stub?
Goes down as an incompletion, I think.
I thought it was a sack that they put it down as.
I didn't know if he threw it away or not. That's crazy.
Very unfortunate. You know he's waking up today and he's just like, that was real.
Yeah, I hope he's icing his toe because that looked like it hurt.
I broke my big toe when I was a kid. We were playing indoor like soccer and no shoes.
How old were you?
I was a freshman in high school.
All right, so being an expert on the matter, do you think he broke his toe?
No, because he's wearing a shoe. Mm. If he had been shoeless, then yeah, he would have definitely broke his toe. And I am an expert on breaking stuff.
All right, so we got to turn back the clock, rewind to the Falcons-Jets game. I know.
Did we really?
We do it every Tuesday. This time, the good, bad, and the ugly from Sunday's Falcons game. Unfortunately, I feel like a couple categories were easier to isolate this time around, but you guys have been watching the film, so you tell me. Let's start with the good.
Bo's pointing everywhere now, like, you go ahead.
You go.
The problem is we both have good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
But the same, it's glaring what's the ugly part. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to dive in a little bit deeper on this and give a little bit more caveat, a little more nuance to the conversation. But my good, I actually was trying to pick between two. I was going between man beaters, which I think – that Zach Robinson really did a nice job of man
beating rats. Man coverage.
Yeah, beating man coverage. Sorry.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. But that's what they call them. That's what they call them.
You guys get on to me.
You know what I mean?
At times about
that's what they
child.
Call them. I was like, I can't say that again. The man coverage concepts and the route tree, that they did a pretty good job. A couple rub routes, a couple cross routes from Kyle that we've been asking for. God, okay. I'll try that one again.
And nothing like anyways, a rubber out and a man beater.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want anybody to. Yeah, anyways, I'm not even going to do that. But the you know, leaking out of the backfield and doing different things to the running backs and all that other kind of stuff, I thought it was really nice. And I really come at Zach Robinson a lot about some of his concepts. I thought he did a nice job on that. But I was going to go with penalties. You did a really nice job not getting penalized. You go back and look at the penalty report. You had one penalty, which it was a costly one. They had nine in the penalty report. So if there's some good to take away, both those things are kind of at the top of my list.
That was the problem about this game. And we talked. Arch and I had a brief conversation about it at the end of the game. Nothing on the stat sheet says you lost this game other than the score. Mm. Well, It just doesn't, like, the way you control the game. I have, like, multiple things, and I think I'm going to try to squeeze them all into one. Your time of possession is the best it's been in a long time. Your red area efficiency was phenomenal. You were 100%. And it's all because Bijan Robinson and Kirk Cousins were really good on Sunday. They were really good. Kirk Cousins was really good. You guys can complain all you want about Curry. He was great.
Yeah,
his decision-making, the processing, how, you know, like the play he makes with Algier before you got down there, which got you to the red area where he sees that they're bringing more than they can block, and he gives himself enough time for the initial route to give it a little bit of a chance and then go, I got to get rid of it, and he gets it to Algier accurately, and boom, he just takes off. You know, that wasn't a called play. That was a
nice man beater.
That was a CYA play, right? You know, you was covering your own blank because you didn't have anything else there, and it was great. The play to Sills, he checked too. The touchdown to Sills.
You think the Algier play was a check down?
Yeah,
I didn't see it as a check down. I thought it was like a blitz beater.
I mean, that's essentially yeah.
Yeah, it was like a,
it
okay.
It was.
Because I think everybody expects Algier to step up in pass pro, and he's like, all right, I'm getting out of the fight on this one.
I think he was going out there. I think he was already kind of moved down where he was lined up, but I had to go back and rewatch it completely. But
yeah, same.
If you go back and watch, Kirk gave it, he tried to give it time for something to develop downfield other than that play. And then he went to it. But the Sills thing he went to, he called it at the line. I just thought, with Bijan running effectively, all three of those really led to good stuff. And Zach Robinson's a big part of that. That was the good for me.
I agree.
We've got the good covered. How about the bad?
So, Bo said nothing on the stat sheet, would point to a loss. I'm actually going to disagree a little bit. Third down has, I mean, it, and the thing is, it feels like every game this year we could point to third down. They, with them being 7 of 16 at 44% on third down, there's no reason. And to give a little caveat to that, I think that if they did that on the year, that puts them at second or third in the NFL. If they were able to do that every single week at 44%, it would definitely put them in the top five, right? And the Falcons, 33% on third down once again. That's their average on the year. They've been 33% all year, 4 of 12 on third down, and it's really what crushed you. I mean, it continues to be an issue, and we point to time possession. We point to yards gain, what the quarterback's doing, staying on schedule. If we can't convert on third down on offense and stop them on third down on defense, that is the biggest key for this team. That's the biggest key to winning and losing, in my opinion. We can talk about the sack numbers. We can talk about everything up and down the board. The third downs are just crushing you on both sides of the ball this year.
All that said, they had 16 first downs in the game.
Yeah.
You had 25. So, I get it. And some of those were on first down. You lose third downs. This team in particular loses third downs on defense automatically based on what happens on first down.
And doesn't it blow your mind, though, that we're sitting here talking about getting 21 first downs on first and second down and only 4 on third? Like, that's crazy. That seems unbelievable.
It would be 19 because two
by penalty.
Two by penalty. Yeah. Special teams lost you the game. You allowed 13 points on special teams. What do you mean you allowed 13 points? They didn't give up those points. Defense did. Okay, you want to talk about that real quick? First and goal at the 2. What's the defense supposed to do? I mean, you muff a punt. The defense got off the field. You muff a punt. The ball's recovered at the 2. It's a one-play, 2-yard drive. The hell is that on the defense? Kick return all the way down to the 17. Give Natron Brooks credit for the tackle. They went 3 and out, kicked a field goal. Oh, so the defense is responsible for that? Get the blank out of here. A terrible punt at the end of the game by Pinion where you need to pin him. He doesn't. They go like 20 yards. They're in field goal range. 3 points. In that particular situation, the defense is literally playing to not give up more. I mean, you're in no man's land.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not It's easy to say, go out there and get a stop. You've made stops all day on defense. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Like, I don't know what the defense is supposed to do. You give up 269 total yards and 16 first downs. Yet, and by that matter, 14 points. 14 points. And one of them is a guy got tripped by the receiver.
Yep.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Well, let's move on to the ugly.
But, I mean, it's the same as his. I actually have Jamal Agnew as the ugly. And it's not just because the muff. We've been bad on return units this entire season. And when I listen to Raheem Morris stand up in a press conference and talk about how Kadarius Hodge has been, you know, put off to the side because they feel like this guy's performing. And then I start going, well, you know, Dylan Drummond and Devin Tompkins, maybe that gives you a little more in terms of Drake London's out. Like, what can they do offensively? And they can also play special teams. They can do a number of different things. And then I look at Jamal Agnew, and I look at the fact that we have him here on, what, a two-year contract, one-year contract. He's probably making $3 or $4 million this year guaranteed and does nothing offensively. Now, that's probably not of his own doing. I'm sure that that's some kind of coaching decision. But we can't be average. We can't be 25th in kickoff return yards on average in the NFL, 23rd on punt return yards in the NFL, and have a guy that's a return specialist. I'm sorry. It just doesn't – Put a third-string running back there. You know what I mean? Put somebody else back there if that's the case, and in a roster spot, go to Kadarius Hodge if that's what we can't figure out. And I know there's so much more in-depth to that, but I'm just really disappointed at what Jamal Agnew has been this year. It's just been brutal. And then when you make the mistakes that you do and that's your only job, that it becomes three times as frustrating.
He's on a one-year deal, thankfully, at 1.7, but I agree with everything you said. There's nothing that you – I just wanted to clarify the money, but there's nothing that you said that I disagree with. Why can't I use him the way you use Devin Tompkins? I could, and for $2 million, I'll go back there and muff punts if that's what we want. I mean, I'll split it with Mike, too, if you want, and Allie. I'll split it four ways. Let's go.
Origination fees here.
Yeah. I'll fair catch it and then just muff it, and we can just give me $2 million. We'll clean transaction. To me, as good as I talked, as much as I think the defense did its job to the extent, I would tell you that you fell into a bad habit that you had early in the season with not maintaining your pass rush integrity, and you allowed Tyrod Taylor to get away and create plays. There's a play on one of their scoring drives where James Pierce has him wrapped up, straight wrapped up, and he gets out. And because he didn't get sacked, he's able to throw the ball. And I think they got a first down on that play, but because he was
able to... Tore his sleeve off. Did you notice that part?
Yes.
Because he was able to extend that play, they went down and scored on that drive.
Yeah.
Now, if not, you got him in third and long. I mean, third and forever. And you get off the field. But it was just... And it was there was a couple other plays. And I don't... That was just one that was I noticed, but there was a couple other where they lost integrity in that pass rush lanes, and it cost them. You allowed Tyrod Taylor to do just enough to beat you, and that's the only thing that I could really get on the defense about, honestly, other than Mike Hughes getting tripped by.
He had a rough game.
Yeah, well,
he had a rough game,
and you know, unfortunately, feet get tangled. He was in great coverage, and then boom, just fell down.
Yeah, he had a rough game. I've been watching his tape. He got targeted in man coverage. Let's just put it that way. They feasted on him at times.
It was overall just a frustrating game. If you have some extra opinions about the good, bad, and the ugly, feel free to go ahead and tweet at us at 929 Morning Shift. And this Saturday, noon to 2, you can join me, Allie Mack, out at Matthews Kia of Cartersville. We're going to be getting ready for Sunday's Falcons-Seahawks game. Someone's going to walk away with the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV, Yeti cooler, other things come with it. Someone else takes home a $100 gift card. Someone else takes home Falcons tickets. So come see me this Saturday, noon to 2, at Matthews Kia of Cartersville. Hey, it's 7:40. We haven't really mentioned it. Bo is handling Top 5 Tuesday. Very excited about that. But coming up next, do we really need to talk about Kuz's kick again? We probably will. We're going to go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass. And before we go in the huddle, Mike, did you happen to notice that Bo Morgan was like a mad scientist this morning?
Yeah, it was weird, man.
Together,
he was in the laboratory. He was in the Beats laboratory, and they're getting it cooked up. I think he's probably got something up his sleeve today that required a lot of effort.
Well, I mean, I can talk about it if you want. I mean, yeah. We don't have to talk about it like it's a
without
secret.
Without further ado.
So it's me for top five, and I don't know. I have issues getting to what I want to do on top five. Not once I get there, it just goes.
It's a journey to get there.
But this one was one where I was like, you know what? I'm going to do top five SEC championship games. And I told Mike. Mike's like, no, you need to do moments. The moments. And I was like, okay. So my moments are kind of, you know, they're obviously they happen in great games, but yeah. It's basically my top five SEC championship game moments. And so me and Porkchop were sitting there yesterday, and we were, I don't know, watching some Bingo music video or something. You know, the farmer had a dog. His name was Bingo.
Yeah.
And I was just going through, and I was finding audio, and I was like, you know what? Like, I know these specific plays that I want to use, and you can go on YouTube and find these games.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, some of the audio is very old, and so it's not perfect. But I went and found them, and instead of telling Dylan, I would need you to start it at 2 hours and 21 minutes and 36 seconds and stop
deep.
It, I was like, dude, I'm just going to cut them up. So I just figured I would go in there, and I was, you know, I made some quick moves.
Because laboratory, man.
I tried to record it on my computer in Adobe, but my microphone I couldn't turn off on the laptop, and you could hear Porkchop, like, you know, making noises and the music video in the back. I was like, this is all right.
I just want to let you know that I appreciate you doing that for me, Squid Billy.
Man.
Dylan, some people in the show make life easy for you.
Excuse me.
I'll have to say this. I got to defend Mike and Allie, too.
I don't know why Allie thought I was talking about her. I wasn't.
Allie does a lot of stuff that she does not need to do.
How does that not include her when you say some people on the show and you're talking about yourself?
Exactly.
I was looking at you.
She's the other person on the show.
You're the other person I was talking about. Right,
yeah.
Mike's also very good about at least sending me time. As long as you send me timestamps, you can send me audio. I don't care. Or if you're just like, you know, I just want, you know, this part. But, you know, if you send timestamps, which Mike does often, you're good in my book.
I'm excited to relive some moments in SEC championship history that stuck out to me.
I'll be good.
It'll be interesting. All right, the world is coming to Atlanta this summer, and Friday we find out all the matchup for world best soccer nations and players. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game has a full day of coverage with Andy and Randy broadcasting live from the official Atlanta host committee draw party in the streets of Buckhead. They will be outside. It's going to be cold. Jason Longshore will be on at 6 p.m. for a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight to break down all of the matchups. It's all brought to you by McDonald's. Grab the Grinch meal from McDonald's and collect all the matching Grinch socks. It's Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the Patriots beat the Giants last night 33-15. If you haven't seen Younghoe Koo's kick or stubbing of toe yet this morning, just open Twitter. You will. It is slow mode everywhere on the internet. And here is Drake May after the game yesterday.
Trying to be the face, trying to be the conductor. He calls it the conductor of the offense. You're trying to be the face of the offense, trying to want the pressure. You want to the ball in my hands, and I've tried to show that all year and throughout my career. So that's what I kind of feel like, and know they feed off of me and feed off my energy and feed off of what I say to those guys and what I say mean something to them. So just when adversity hits, I got to respond. And then from there, I just got to be, the same guy, same guy every day. Don't try to change and just be myself. That's what the guys like the most. So
I let me be very clear about this. I don't want him as the head coach, but I would kill to have Josh McDaniel as the offensive coordinator down here. I mean, the way that he absolutely cooks, and he's turned Drake May into a freaking superstar. When there were questions about what Drake May's future was at some point last year, he's turned him into an MVP candidate, a superstar. Some of the downfield throws he was making, just insane. I love what Drake May's been able to do this year. And his future and that organization's future with him at the helm are about as bright as I can possibly imagine in the NFL. Maybe throw the Broncos in there a little bit, but Bo Nix ain't doing the things Drake May's doing. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, Drake May is playing phenomenal, and he should. It's hard not to give Josh McDaniels credit. Like he's worked with, I don't know if he led Brady or Brady led him when he was working with Brady, but he definitely learned what some of the things that works and how to work with a quarterback. I love seeing it. This quarterback class, if it could be all hits, right? I mean. Every one of them could be good draft picks. The questions that are out right now are really Penix and a little bit with Bo Nix at sometimes this year. I don't completely agree all of it, but a little bit.
McCarthy's a sinking ship right now.
Well, that's true. I forgot. Kind of forget about him. He's kind of like the black sheep of the group.
Yeah, he's rough.
So the home of Eagles OC, Kevin Vitullo, was egged Saturday morning after the Eagles 24-15 loss to the Bears. So this report about the egging came from the Morristown police. So I've definitely been egged before. I don't recall calling the police about this, but there is an ongoing investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're Eagles fans. And
yeah,
I kind of veer in the same direction. If people know where you live, that's probably what it is. You're putting an alert out. Hey, people know where I live.
There's 5 weeks left of the regular season. It's probably going to happen again.
you have a disgruntled wide receiver. Your offense is pretty.
Although he can't possibly be disgruntled after this past weekend. He went ham. But I'm with you. Allie, I think it is. You're like, oh man, call the police. I think in this specific instance in that city, I don't even mind it. I'm like, dude, I would probably be a little bit terrified. You know what I mean? Like something, because I don't think that's the worst that's going to happen because his address is obviously out there.
Right.
Those Eagles fans are rough around the edges. Let's put it that way. And I just think that, I don't mind him kind of reporting that.
I just can't believe how petty Eagles fans are. Like they're 8-4. We're 4-8. You don't hear any murmurs of our fans egging houses. We're not going after Zach Robinson's house. I mean, how petty.
We're
not
driving up to the branch.
Right. I mean, just how petty as a fan base do you have to be to egg somebody's house at 8-4? That's crazy.
You hear that, Simone? You hear that, Simone?
Uh-huh.
Well,
this isn't obviously, I'm not putting them all the Eagles fans under an umbrella, but those select fans.
Well,
crazy.
I've seen some blame us and the fan base for our team being 4-8, so which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't know, man. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus, dude.
And they booed Santa Claus and booed their own quarterback. When Carson Wentz, like at the very end of the Carson Wentz era, they pumped in boos for Carson Wentz. That's just a whole nother level of petty, man.
Well, coming up, the Hawks lost to the Pistons, but honestly, that could have gone either way. And it's also Top 5 Tuesday. Bo, reveal your topic again.
Top 5 SEC championship game moments.
Take me back, man. Take me back.
Oh, I'm taking you back. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad.
Uh-oh.
It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:41 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, who is handling Top 5 Tuesday in just a few moments. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Now, the Hawks did lose to the Pistons last night, 99-98. Atlanta did have a chance to win with 0.1 seconds left, but Jalen Johnson just couldn't get it done. He did have 29 points, 13 rebounds.
It's intense. It's intense. I will say this, too. This is a terrible, terrible scheduling mishap. I'm going to call it a mishap because it's ridiculous. You played two overtimes two nights ago, right? And then you have to play a team where you're a 9-point underdog, one of the best teams in the NBA and the Pistons. So you know, all things considered, they didn't play bad at all. Like, it was, this sounds so dumb to say, it was a nice effort.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice effort. And you just couldn't get it done on the defensive boards the way you needed to. And it's been, how many times have we talked about that? It feels like that's an ongoing conversation. You also didn't get to the line at the rate you probably felt like you needed to going into the game. But it's just, I don't know. I think that they played better considering everything that goes into the time and the back-to-backs and the travel. They played better than I thought they would against the Pistons, who are a very, very good basketball team.
Man, they lost at the end. They lost by a point. I mean, yeah, of course they played better. Jalen Johnson has just been phenomenal. And you just wonder, okay, when Trey comes back, what does this team look like? That's the question, really, where I think this team, you've got to give Quinn Snyder and Jalen Johnson, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's been really good to me in this stretch. I mean, he had 26 again last night. And all these guys, you got to give them a lot of credit because when you heard Trey was going down so early in the season for an extended amount of time, it felt like, all right, well, there you go. That's us. Play-in game it is. And they've done better than expected. And now, you know, whenever I have a lot of friends at the Hawks. But I don't need an update on Trae Young to tell me that I'll have an update in 2 weeks. Because that's what they sent out Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm getting on the plane, and I go, oh, an update on Trae Young. I'm opening this email right now. And I look down, and it goes, Trae Young, who you know was injured weeks ago, yada, 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 will have an update on him in 2 weeks. So you sent an update to tell me we'd have another update. Like, I was like, what are we doing? But, you know, just what is it going to be, Dylan, when he comes back? Can he come in and keep Jalen and these guys, you know, honestly performing like they are?
That's a very good question, and that is the exact thing I am wondering. That's the only thing I'm wondering about when Trae Young comes back, because we're going to keep it a bean, and I've talked about this before. I don't think the Hawks are better without Trae Young. I'm not on that narrative, but the ball movement is better, and the ball movement is different when Trae Young is in versus when Trae Young is out. And I'm just not sure what that ball movement is going to look like, if that same ball movement is going to be there when Trae Young comes back in. So Trae Young is going to have to do some adapting. It's going to be a thing where, look, Jalen Johnson deserves close to the amount of touches and close to the amount of shots that you're getting a night, because that's what he's earned at this point. Nikhil Alexander-Walker needs to keep getting the same amount of touches he's been getting too, because he's been balling. And Onyeka Okongwu needs those minutes. And then I know Kristaps Porzingis has been in and out of the lineup. Onyeka's going to need to start splitting those minutes a little bit more with KP as well. KP's been good when he's been in, but he hasn't been in that much, and Onyeka Okongwu has earned his minutes. So it's going to be interesting when this team is back at full health what all looks like, and if they can keep that same groove going that they have right now. And I know he hasn't been filling up the stat sheet, but I do want to take a little bit of time to give a major kudos and a major pat on the back to Dyson Daniels, because he has basically taken over that point guard role since Trae Young has been out. And he's been a really good facilitator. Again, the points haven't necessarily been there, but he's been flirting with the triple-doubles close to every night. I mean, last night I think he had 10, 5, and 5. And he's been around that, you know, again, he'll have 12 or 15, then 6 assists, 7 rebounds, something like that. He's been a really good facilitator, and he has had to take a step back as far as, you know, what his offensive role is and putting up the amount of points and getting the shots that he usually gets, because he's been more of a facilitator, more of a point guard. But he has been really good, and he has thrived in that role, taking over for Trae Young as far as that floor general. And the defense hasn't taken a step back either. But like you said, Bo and Mike, Jalen Johnson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, those guys have been stepping up in a major way. And Mike, you said, and this last thing I'll say, Mike, you're not wrong in saying it was a good effort, because it was. I know it does sound cliche to say, but it was a good effort. And the thing that impressed me the most about last night, the Hawks – haven't been known as a physical team. Like, this wouldn't be one of the games that they would be in. Like, a knockdown, physical, drag-out fight isn't something the Hawks, you know, are accustomed to playing. They're used to playing fast and, you know, more of a finesse game. But they show they get down and dirty with a Detroit team that is very physical, with Jalen Duren down low. And, yes, they got dominated on the glass, and that needs to be fixed. But all in all, I'm very proud of what the Hawks put on the floor last night.
Well, and the Hawks will play again tomorrow night at home against the Clippers. Pregame is set for 7 right here on 92.9 The Game, and tip is set for 7:30.
You know, when you look back at the SEC championship game, I think the first thing that comes to mind is if you are as old as I am, you're in your 40s like me, you think of some of the classics that Florida and Alabama played in the 90s. But there's Georgia and Alabama's got a couple of classics. You know, in recent past, even dating back to, you know, 2012.
Yep.
I'm going to start with my honorable mention, and it's not really to me. It's what Georgia fans remember the most from the game. Alabama fans probably remember the 2018 SEC championship game. This is an honorable mention where Tua goes out and Jalen Hurts comes in. You're what, down like 21-7. And Jalen leads you back opposite, almost it is the exact opposite of what happened in the championship game. What, less than a year earlier in the same building. But the play Georgia fans remember is the fake punt with Justin Fields.
It's the foot of Jake Camarda. And it's a fake. Justin Fields.
Oh, my gosh. It was 4th and 11.
Alabama's going to take over at the 48-yard line.
They kept their defense out there. They're playing defense safe. Justin Fields is right here. They were ready for it. They played defense safe, and they had no chance. on the first down. A risk, wow, to say the least.
Yeah, probably one of the worst fakes in the history of championship games.
There are thousands of Kirby Smart highlights in his career. This is not going to make the list when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that was, for the record, that was 4th and 11 from, I think, your own 48, and there was 3 minutes left in the game, tied at 28.
Woof.
And Alabama went on to win 35-28. All right, let's now get into the top five.
Number five.
So I had fun with this list because it took me down memory lane, but the game and the moment that kicked off the Nick Saban SEC dominance, and it's not at Alabama, guys. It was at LSU. And to this point in the game, this is 2001, at this point in the SEC championship game, it had never kept a team from playing for the national title. But Matt Mock and Nick Saban had different thoughts for that Tennessee team.
First down and 10 after that 9-yard gain. Here's the snap. And the quarterback draw, Mock inside the 10, the 5. LSU has reclaimed the lead.
It ended up being a pretty sideways game, too.
It ended up being, I think it ended up like a 31-20, I believe, something like that.
Oh, wow.
That was number two Tennessee. Remember, Tennessee played Florida. Remember, everything got pushed back a week because of 9/11?
Yeah.
And Florida and Tennessee played essentially for the SEC championship game in Gainesville. Tennessee wins. They go there. This is an upstart LSU team. Matt Mock is more known for being a baseball player.
Yeah.
And
good point.
Unbelievable, you know, that Saban, that was when it was a welcome to the Nick Saban era of the SEC for me. Yeah. That's why I put it in there.
It's a good one.
Number four.
All right. These two teams, I talked about how many great games they played. Florida and Alabama. This was essentially what started Florida's little bit. I mean, they won in 93, but the 94 game, you know, Danny Werfel throws a pick, and then they get the ball back, and he engineers a 10-play, 80-yard drive that had everything in it from fourth and ones to trick plays.
Fourth and a yard and a half, and they're going. Baylor. He broke the tackle.
Great effort.
Broke the tackle. First down. He got away from Ozell Powell. Right there, moving the wideouts around, shifting them here, putting them there. It is second down and a long one. Same thing. They throw it downfield and he is out of bounds at the 2-yard line to Chris Goring. First and goal, Gators. Alabama 2. To the lead.
Wonder what that guy's doing now.
Doring? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Keith Jackson. I was like, wait.
No, Keith Jackson. Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Doring. Yeah, SEC Network, man. Yeah,
gotta love it.
So the first play was a fourth and one. Fred Taylor, who was a young Fred Taylor, by the way.
Yep, ding.
Fourth and one. And then Werfel throws it back to Doring, who throws a pass, gets him to the two, and then Doring catches a touchdown. 10 plays, 80 yards. And it was just, dude, those two teams, the 24-23 was a final. Unbelievable.
Number three.
I'm sorry, Georgia fans, that I'm doing this to you guys because there are some games, but this game in 2012 was one of the best we ever saw in the SEC championship game. Probably Mark Richt's best chance at winning a national title, but it wasn't meant to be.
Two throws to the end zone. They can clock this ball right now, meaning ground it, or they can run a hurry-up play. The clock has started.
12 seconds to go. Murray got it, but the clock is running.
That's the one thing he didn't want to do.
Game over. Alabama faces Notre Dame for the national championship in Miami.
If you're unfamiliar, that is Chris Conley catches it. Paulding County kid. Chris Conley catches it, and falls down. It was a tip pass. Kirby Smart got his own team there. It just was the one thing you couldn't do.
Yeah.
And it's just situational awareness a little bit, you know, drop it.
Tough moment, man. Tough
but
moment.
But it sucked because
I thought
Georgia was going to score. Georgia plays Alabama. I mean, they play Notre Dame in the national title. If that doesn't happen, they probably win it. So unbelievable. All right.
Number two.
This one is very familiar to another person in this room. Tim Tebow and the Gators in 2008, they took a page from Mike Johnson, Mark Ingram, and Nick Saban's Alabama team, and they go on an 11-play drive, 10 of them run plays.
Demps is behind Tebow. Blitz threatened, blitz coming. Option inside, Hernandez, the tight end, first and goal, Florida. And it's Demps behind Tebow on second down. The pitch, Demps goes in. Touchdown, Florida. They reclaim the lead.
It was 20-17 when that drive started.
They were so good.
Florida goes up 24-20. They ended up scoring again. That was a hell of a game. That game was really good.
Yeah, the moment where we went up 20-17, I acted a complete fool in the end zone. Mark ran the ball right behind me. I absolutely lost my mind. I was like, we're not losing the lead now, baby. Let's go. And we did.
Yeah. what an unbelievable game. And finally,
number one.
Look, I couldn't. There's one play I think about in the SEC Championship game, and this one hurts me. It is the OG game in Legion Field, 1992. And that's a team that Alabama went on to play Miami in the national championship and yep. just absolutely run through them. But they wouldn't have been there without this play.
Alabama defense has got to stand up right here.
Well, it's the best against the best. Matthews holds 14 SEC record, and you're going against the number one defense in the country.
First, let's settle this one, and that's a cracking good one as Matthews goes back and throws. Intercepted by Lynam. He's on his way. Touchdown, Alabama.
This is his sixth interception of the year, his 12th career interception, and his third touchdown.
Alabama wins.
Antonio Langham was unbelievable. He had an interception in that national championship game in New Orleans. That's the greatest moment to me in SEC championship game history because it just, dude, that was the game. Final score in that game was 35-28. 28-21. Florida had stormed back from down 21-7 to tie the game. Langham's touchdown makes it 28-21. That's the game. Those are your top five SEC championship game moments.
Nice work.
Got a lot to weigh in on here. Coming up, we've got the wake-up call. Give us your good, bad, and the ugly of the Falcons-Jets game. There's a lot to choose from there. Or if you want to relive some SEC championship moments, call in with yours. Weigh in on Bo's Top 5 Tuesday, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.